Grace and peace to you as we gather together in the name of the living God to worship Christ with one another. Surely God is in this virtual place and calls us to worship in spirit and in truth. Let us pray. God of love, you have loved us first and continue to love us. We come before you as a people longing to love you in return. We hunger for your healing love in our lives, for we long to love ourselves and our neighbors. Come to us this day and fill our longing. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Welcome again to worship this morning at Parma Christian Church. This is our virtual worship space, and we are glad that you are gathering with us this day. And we will continue to worship here each Sunday morning at 10:45 a.m. on our Facebook page. There are two items I want to remind you of as we gather together to worship this morning. One is that we practice an open communion, and all are invited to bring whatever you have at your home to your table, which is an extension of Christ's table. We will worship with one another and celebrate communion with each other at the end of our worship service this morning. And the second is offering. Your generosity is greatly appreciated. And you may use our online giving tool called Givelify, which can be found on our webpage, www.parmachristianchurch.org. Or you may mail in your offering to Parma Christian Church, 7000 Ridge Road, Parma, Ohio, 44129. Today, our scripture comes from the Gospel of Matthew, and it is a story of how John the Baptist, it was right after John the Baptist died, and it's a story of how Jesus feeds the 5,000. This is the only story that appears particularly in all four Gospels, the only story particularly about Jesus that appears in all four Gospels, and it actually appears in several of the Gospels twice, told slightly differently. So hear this word from the Holy Scriptures this morning about how Jesus fed a multitude of people with only a few loaves and fish. Hear this word from God. Now, when Jesus heard that John the Baptist had died, he withdrew from the crowds and went by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send these crowds away so they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but five loaves of bread and two fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So imagine with me, it's getting late in the afternoon, and it's way past time to think about what to make for dinner. But here you are once again wondering, what am I going to do? What's for dinner? What will it be tonight? And that's when the realities of the world kind of hit you right in the gut. Because as you open up the cupboards, you see how bare they really are. And all you find is one can of tuna and a box of crackers. That emptiness and oh my goodness feeling in your stomach is probably similar to how the disciples felt that day as they stood with Jesus staring at 5,000 men plus the women and children, so that's way more than 5,000 people, and all they had were five loaves of bread and two fish. Not a lot. Hardly enough for a casserole, What on earth are we going to do? The disciples thought. How are we going to feed all of these people with this? Well, basically, that is what Jesus used. He used somebody's lunch, some bread and some fish, to feed 5,000 people, plus the women and the children. That would be like feeding all the high school students at Valley Forge, Normandy, and Parma Senior High, plus a couple of the elementary schools included, with one student's lunch. That's quite an accomplishment and something only the Son of God could do. So why does Jesus have to feed everyone with just a few fish and some loaves of bread? Why are they out there in this deserted place anyway? Our story begins with Jesus seeking some quiet time. He has just learned that his cousin, John the Baptist, the one who baptized him, had died. He was murdered by King Herod. And Jesus wanted some alone time to deal and process with what he had just heard for a minute. Yet the crowds needed Jesus. They needed this man who was healing those who were sick. They needed this man who revealed to them God's love. And they needed Jesus so desperately that they followed him. Some even saw where they were, where he was going, and managed to take a shortcut to get there before him. In some ways, it sounds like Jesus could not escape from the paparazzi even for a moment. Now, if I had been Jesus, I think I would have been frustrated to no end upon seeing all of those people following me, even when I needed some quiet time. It's a good thing that Jesus wasn't like me. Because when he arrived there on that other shore, he stepped off the boat and he had compassion for them. He loved them, and even in his time of need, he was there for them. He began to heal them. He walked among them, reached out to touch and heal them. And then we have this story of feeding 5,000 people. This story appears in all the other Gospels. And in those stories, Jesus not only just heals the people, he also teaches and preaches to them. So the day grows late, and it's definitely time to eat, probably well past mealtime. And the disciples, being the discerning and prepared people that they are, realize that no one has brought any food. So they approach Jesus with this problem. They ask him to send the crowds away. But instead, Jesus actually turns the table on them and says, "Open up the pantry and see what you can find to feed them." Isn't that every host's worst nightmare? To have unexpected guests show up right at dinner and all you have is a small casserole that will only feed four, not 24, much less 5,000? But that's what Jesus says. He says, "You give them something to eat," with a great emphasis on the word "you." Jesus does not accomplish this miracle on his own. He actively involves the disciples in making this miracle happen. While the disciples may have complained and grumbled, wondering what on earth was Jesus up to now, they did what he asked them to do. They told Jesus exactly what they had. "Jesus, we only have two fish and five loaves of bread." And Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." And then Jesus blesses them. And he breaks them. Doesn't that sound kind of familiar? He takes the bread, he blesses it and breaks it, and gives it to his disciples. And the disciples give it to the people. So according to what we read today, Jesus did not walk down the rows of people sharing the fish and bread. He left that job up to the disciples. He used them to accomplish the task. It was through their hands-on work of distributing food that this miracle actually becomes a reality. In essence, the disciples become the hands and feet of Christ, walking among that crowd of people and feeding them. Jesus was the one who performed the miracle. The disciples simply did what they were asked to do. And in doing so, They fed what must have seemed to them on that day like the whole world. It's quite a bit. Now, for many years, it's been the tradition in May for the United States postal workers to hold an annual food drive. And this year would have been the 28th food drive to help stock our nation's food pantries. But unfortunately, that drive was postponed because of the pandemic, and we're not exactly sure when it's going to happen. Now, when I was the associate pastor at First Christian Church, Arlington, Texas, a long time ago, the church's gymnasium became a temporary warehouse on that second Saturday of May. The postal workers from all over Arlington, Texas, which is not a small place, all of them would drive up to the back door of the gym and drop off all of the canned goods they had collected on their routes. So by the end of the afternoon, food would be stacked almost to the ceiling at one end of the basketball court. There was a lot of food in there. Well, that was actually the same space where the church would hold one of their Sunday morning services, called a celebration service with lots of fun and fancy music. And instead of not having our service in that space on that Sunday, we actually turned the worship service into a working worship service. As we worshiped, we, the people gathered in that space, would become the hands and feet of Christ as we sorted all of the food and boxed it up. We had to sort it by fruits and vegetables, and within the vegetables, corn here, beets, everything, you name it, green beans, it was all sorted out, tuna, fish. And everything was sorted up and then boxed up so then it could be distributed to all of the food pantries in that part of the county. So as we sang our songs of praise and prayed and held the worship service, we actually were working and sorting the food. We'd stop for communion, but they even sorted food as I preached. It was definitely a time when I knew they weren't going to fall asleep in my sermon because they were working. It was a whole hour of hard work, and all of us, from the little kids who looked for little cans of tuna to the adults who boxed it up, we would sort and sort and sort, and it always looked like an overwhelming task, a task too large for any one person. By the end of the morning worship, a small portion of that mountain of food was sorted and boxed. It took a whole week with lots of volunteers coming in from the church and community to help sort all that food. And as quickly as it was sorted, different community food pantries would come and pick up their allotted share. It's amazing how one can of tuna and a box of crackers that someone put out with their mail can come together with all of the other non-perishables in order to feed thousands of people each year. So last year, in the 2019 Postal Workers Food Drive, approximately 76.1 million pounds of food was collected across the country. God uses whatever gifts we have to offer in order to accomplish miracles. A small gift, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, can become a part of a larger one to make miracles happen. Yes, the disciples only had those 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, but when Jesus blessed it and broke it, that small gift multiplied and fed thousands. One small can of tuna can go a long way to help the fight against hunger when it is paired with many other cans. Reminds me of the time when Jesus saw a woman give 2 coins, her last 2 coins, as her offering. He said she had given more than those who gave extravagant gifts. And some of those extravagant gifts came out of obligation, he said. Her gift came out of love. She didn't have much, but what she had, she gave it with love and compassion. And God willingly received her offering for the building up of the kingdom. Sometimes we don't think that we have a whole lot to offer. And we think that we have poor gifts or poor ideas or nothing else to contribute to the world. But God can use us in many and various ways. You know, these disciples, they were just average guys. They weren't all of the top religious scholars of the day. They were just regular men who worked hard to make a living. They were fishermen and tax collectors. They were farmers and zealots. But when they heard the call to follow Jesus, they listened and they learned. They were healed, and then they became healers. They fed on the living word of Christ, and then they fed others with that same word. They received the love of Christ and willingly shared that love with the world. God used them to spread the good news to the world. In today's story, the disciples could only find 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, or perhaps a can of tuna and a box of crackers, a pretty empty cupboard. And there was not a whole lot to give, but Jesus used it to feed the crowd. He took it, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to the people. And he gave it to the people through the disciples, became Christ's hands and feet in that place. Jesus received the gifts of the disciples, that the gifts the disciples had to offer to serve those in need. So what are your gifts? Whatever your gifts and talents are, God can use them. God can use them to feed the world that is hungry to hear the good news. A friend of mine once wrote on his blog, "Go wherever God deploys you. If God sends you to a soup kitchen, go. To a homeless shelter, go. If God instructs you to give the bum on the corner your last $5 bill, do it. God sends you to assist in a classroom at your kid's school, that's God's will being done. God appreciates us all coming together on Sunday, so long as we are deploying out there in the world for the rest of the week and to be God's hands out there on the ground. God is in every good thing, every good deed, every good thought, every good action, every smile, every eye contact, every hello, every generous compliment, every selfless act." I know in our world suffering from this pandemic that it's actually hard for us to get up and go and be the hands and feet of Christ in this world. Yet even in our being at home, even in our working from home or attending school virtually from home, we can still be Christ-like to each other. We can still support the ministries like our own food pantry here at Parma Christian Church. We can still make phone calls, write letters, and most importantly, we can still pray for one another. And for goodness sake, when we are posting on social media, we can be kind to one another. We can be a witness of God's love to each other, and we can still be the hands and feet of Christ in this world. Amen.